Welcome in, everybody. Southeastern 14, Bets and Ball Games with Edwards and Greason. We're recording on Friday, June 14th, about 11:45 a.m. Eastern. And let's get started by talking about our good friends at Bet Online, your number one source for the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals, every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's all caps, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. Alrighty, let's get started. Mr. Greason, what's up, my brother? How are you?
Sneaky fun sports weekend. Granted, the NBA Finals have been a little bit of a disappointment because Boston has flexed a little. Stanley Cup, you could say kind of the same thing with Florida having a commanding 3-0 lead in that, in the race for Lord Stanley's Cup. But the U.S. Opens this weekend. The College World Series starts. We got a whole lot of draft things on the horizon. And we're going to blink our eyes, and thankfully we'll be getting closer and closer to the air months when sports gets really good.
Yes, indeed. And the SEC is well represented in Omaha, and our friends at Bet Online have Texas A&M as the plus 260 chalk. Tennessee has the second shortest odds at plus 275. Kentucky is at plus 600 or 6-1. UNC plus 750. FSU 8-1. Virginia 9-1, Florida 11-1, and NC State 16-1. I know nothing about college baseball. Do you have any input or thought? Any of those odds attractive to you?
Well, I would probably lean towards, and it's not because of the shirt I wore today. I think you're getting a pretty good price on Kentucky because they offensively can create runs in a variety of ways. They can play small ball. They've got power in the middle of their order. Tennessee is historically strong in the number of home runs that they have hit this year, and that's why they've been the one seed. But I actually heard Ben McDonald on the SEC Network mention, to give him full credit, the former LSU pitcher who went number one overall to Baltimore. He talked about how the stadium there in Omaha is the biggest stadium any of these guys will ever play on. And when the wind's blowing in, if you are a home run first, last, and majority of the time team, you can get got pretty quickly on one afternoon with the wind blowing in. So, and in a situation like this, one loss could mean all the difference in the world. I was impressed with NC State. I know they're the longest of long shots. But I tell you something they have that is attractive to me is they've got quality arms that their coaches trust in the bullpen. So they're going to turn those guys over and get out of some high leverage situations that I think could be beneficial. But it's going to be fun. And dear Lord, you think we're playing better baseball in the Southeast? That's four ACC teams and four SEC teams.
Right. No doubt. All right, so Jay likes Kentucky at 6-1 odds. And so today is Tennessee Vols football preview day. So let's get started with them. I will give you their betting menu at Bet Online. So the Vols odds to make the CFP are plus 200 to win the CFP. And the Natty, they are 40-1. Tennessee is 10-1 to win the SEC. Those are the sixth shortest odds in the league. And Nico is 20-1 to win the Heisman. Those are the eighth shortest odds. Their season win total is 9, shaded to the over minus 120. The under has minus 110 odds. Now they play Chattanooga in the opener, so that's an FCS opponent. So that line will not be out until probably, sometimes not till Thursday or Friday, before the game. Maybe
a little start with a 4, though. That's yes. I mean, so
Yeah, it'll be a big, big number. But we do have games of the year lines for Tennessee at DraftKings. DraftKings has them in week two, a neutral site game in Charlotte. The Vols are -4.5 to an NC State team that I think is going to be pretty good. It's got Grayson McCall coming in and Doran. You know, he's kind of like Gundy at Oak State. I mean, he just basically wins at least 8 and a lot of times 9 games every year. I think they're going to have a major upgrade at quarterback. The Vols are +3.5 at Oklahoma. And despite losing 17 of the last 19 head-to-head meetings with the Gators since 2005, 12 of those being UF Gator double digitizations. Despite that, the Vols are 11-point home favorites to UF, and they are a 2-point home dog to Bama, and they are a 17-point road dog at Georgia. All right. Any of those numbers? What about Nico to the Heisman? I don't know what I was doing. I think I was just watching another game during that time slot. So I saw the highlights. Did you watch that game? How impressed were you with his?
I watched it. It was a terrible game because Iowa is so offensively constipated that it was nauseating. And all right, let's go ahead and make everybody giggle. Nico, his last name is Iamaleava.
And Iamame Alava.
Tiny bubbles in the water. Hey, but for the rest of our time together, he will be Nico. Sure. You can call him the $8 million man because that's what the Athletic reported that he got an NIL money to come to Knoxville. He looked very good because while the Iowa offense was terrible, the Iowa defense was good. And Tennessee went up and down the field on him. So he's going to have quite possibly, and this is saying something, in a league with Georgia and Alabama, Tennessee's wide receiver room does not have to apologize to anybody with Squirrel White and Brew McCoy and Deontay Thompson and, I mean, some dudes who can really stretch the field. So I think if you like Tennessee's chances to get into the playoff, I think the price on Nico is so much better than just Tennessee at +200 to get into the playoff field that makes a lot of sense to me. They've got questions. I mean, they lost 3 of their top 4 rushers from last year. Do they have talent there? Yeah, Heupel has recruited well, and I will say this. There was such a desperation among the Tennessee fan base that they jumped in front of the NIL conversation in a big way. And when Heupel has now been there, they've made some major strides. Look at that roster and some of the dudes they've gotten through the portal. I mean, you're not getting bona fide the LSU tackle who's going to be a starter from day one at left tackle, which allows them to move last year's starter at left tackle to right tackle.
Lance
Cooper Mays is back at center. He was arguably – he could be the most important player on that offense, not named Nico. And, I mean, you're talking about 4 linemen returning, a quarterback who is a top 10 Heisman pick before taking a regular season start, and all that talent wide receiver. Offensively, Tennessee's going to be good. And Heupel calls ball plays. I mean, Spurrier would love Heupel. I mean, yeah. He's brash. They play fast. They're not afraid to throw it around, whether it's first string, third string, the 10th string. He guitar strings. They're going to sling the football. So I think the optimism in the orange is understandable. And yeah, we haven't even really talked about the best player in the building in Knoxville is the
edge rusher, James Pierce.
Yeah. And, I mean, he had 10 sacks last year and almost got to 20 quarterback hits, forced 2 fumbles, had a pick. I mean, guy's a dynamic player who will be a day one NFL draft pick.
Yeah, 16 QB hurries. All the magazines have him preseason first team, All-American. So just back to Heupel. So he when he came in, all their good players had hit the portal. Several of them went to Oklahoma, like Eric Gray, Wanda Morris, who was a five-star recruit. They lost guys to Alabama, to Ola Ola O-O-O, or whatever his name was.
Henry Tua Tua.
There you go. And but yet he went 7-6. And I remember saying before that season, if he got him to a bowl game, he should be SEC Coach of the Year. He did. 7-6, 6-7 against the spread in year one. Year two, 11-2 straight up, 10-3 ATS. Went to South Carolina, I believe it was the next to the last, or it was the game before the regular season finale, and just got smoked. Otherwise, they controlled their destiny to get in the CFP. But they finished 11-2 straight up, 10-3 ATS. And then last year, 9-4 straight up, 7-6 ATS. However, in Josh Heupel's three-year tenure, 27-12 straight up, 23-16 ATS, two bowl wins, a controversial bowl loss in that first year. But, I mean, he's exceeded my expectations, and you're up in Tennessee. The fan base has got to love this guy.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and we're in a strange spot right now. I don't know how many schools around the league Tennessee would trade their three primary coaches with Tony Vitello, Rick Barnes, and now Josh Heupel. I don't know how many schools that they would trade all three of those to any other school.
Count the AD and make it a four-pack, because he's done a hell of a job. Mike White's brother.
I talked about this a little bit on social media earlier this week, that your Gators – College Softball World Series, College Baseball World Series, basketball program looks like it's going to take some strides. So there's reason for optimism. But in the South, if you're not having success on Saturdays,
that's all it matters.
It's just lip service. I mean, yeah. And I'm not trying to downgrade the importance and the contributions of all those other sports. They're great. And I love what Bruce Pearl's done at my alma mater. But if Hugh Freeze isn't winning on Saturday, then there's unrest. And so as great as Tennessee has redirected the athletic department ship up there, if Josh Heupel does not continue to build it, I'm not going to say it loses momentum, but the athletic director is not truly a success.
Football.
Nobody cares about your GPA. Nobody cares about where you finish in the Learfield Trophy. I mean, all that's fine, well, and good. Stanford wins that every year. You know why? They've got like 79 scholarship athletic teams. So, of course, they win water polo and equestrian. And, I mean, it God bless them. And so they churn up a ton of points. But if you're not figuring out ways to win the third Saturday in October, if you're not figuring out ways to get off the schneid against the Gators, especially when you're supposed to be better than them, and if you're not figuring out a way to be right there neck and neck with Georgia, and nobody in the country is, but every fan base, I know Auburn fans expect ultimately Auburn to be neck and neck with Georgia. I know Tennessee fans expect the exact same thing. So if you're not to go all Andy Dufresne on you, but you either got to get busy winning or you get busy dying. And that's it. That is it.
No doubt. Football and Saturdays is what makes all these universities spin. All right, Phil Steele's national unit rankings for Tennessee. I'm just go through them real quick. It's got them ranked. And look, I think Phil Steele's magazine is fantastic, and it's a real useful tool. But I give these numbers out. Doesn't mean I agree with all of it, but him and his staff do a really good job. Like, he's got the Gators the number 28 quarterback room in the country. I think that's terrible. I think there's top 10. But again, it's just a useful tool. But I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all. But anyway, all right. So Tennessee at the quarterback position, number 39 nationally, number 37.
That's too low. I mean, I think there are a lot of really good quarterbacks, but – And how much value are we putting on a third string guy? Because you're right. And Phil Steele is universally, he should be respected for the numbers they crunch. I mean, those guys, it's like Mel Kiper. I mean, you may not agree with what Mel Kiper says, but you know Mel Kiper has put in the work going in to drafting analysts, analysis. So I get it. Phil crunches a whole lot of numbers, but I don't give a damn if your third string quarterback's better than my second string quarterback. You only get one. Give me QB one. And Nico can play. So 39 is ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, 37 at running back, number 15 wide receivers, number 8 on both the offensive line and the defensive line, number 40 in special teams, but the linebackers and secondary were not ranked in the top 69 and 70. So I went to the SEC unit rankings, and Tennessee was 13th at linebacker, 14th in the secondary. Now, their defense does lose their top 6 tacklers, but as Jay noted, James Pierce, you know, preseason All-American, 16 QB hurries last year, like Jay noted, 10 sacks, 14 and a half TFLs, tackles for loss. So secondary and linebackers is kind of where they have some inexperience and replacing some guys. All right, the recruiting class, according to the 247 Sports composite, number 13 overall, number 32 in terms of transfer specific guys, 2 5 stars, 15 four stars, 9 total transfers. 4 of those transfers are four star transfers. Jay mentioned the LSU offensive tackle, Lance Hurd. They also got a receiver, Chris Brazell from Tulane, who had 44 catches, 711 yards, 5 touchdowns last year. They got a tight end, Holden Stace. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. 15 receptions, 176 yards, 4 touchdowns as a sophomore for the Irish last year. And then Jermaine McCoy from Oregon State, a corner, who had 31 tackles, 2 picks, 7 passes broken up for the Beavers last year. All right. Anything else before we jump into the season win total that I'll repeat is 9, shaded over minus 120 and minus 110 if you like the under.
The couple things. And one, I think the number crunchers saw how many tackles Tennessee lost to graduation or transfer or whatever else. But Tennessee's starting middle linebacker was hurt in the season opener last year. He's now back and fully healthy.
Right.
So, I mean, he's got no numbers to – so he probably had like 5 tackles last year. His name's Keenan Peely, I think. And so it is – he's going to be a dude. And from Chattanooga – there is an electric playmaker going to go, and he's going to be a member of that secondary. And his name is Boo Carter. And I'm telling you, he'll probably return some kicks. If you get an opportunity, this is going to be a name that you remember from the past. Boo Carter's got some highlight videos from Friday nights in our coverage area, because he was from the Chattanooga area, that made me think of Noel Devine. When he was a high school phenom.
Yeah.
I mean, cutting across 12 different lanes of traffic, he looks like a combination of Frogger and Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl. It is nuts.
As Devine, was he on those West Virginia teams with Pat White?
No, that was Steve Slayton.
Okay. But he did play at West Virginia, right?
He did. Okay. He first went to Florida State. Because every supreme super athlete was going to go to Florida State. But then I don't know if he transferred out, got
booted,
hard short, went back home.
Bobby didn't boot his boys. What are they going to do? Go to the streets?
No.
What am I going to do? Send them out to the streets? Bobby. All right. Let's go through this schedule. Let's see. We start Chattanooga, W. I mentioned -4.5 to NC State in Charlotte. Not going to be easy, but I got that a W. You?
I do too. And know this, though. Even though they're quote-unquote neutral site against NC State in Charlotte, there will be more orange than red in the stands. And so. Book that. Book yeah. it. Just yeah, 100%.
Then they host Kent State out of the MAC. So that's 3-0.
Yep.
And now, tough one. First, true road game at Oklahoma, where they're +3.5 at DraftKings. I'm going to say L on this one.
Well, you're talking about two teams that have high hopes for new starters at quarterback. So, because the kid who was at UCF, who went to Oklahoma, he's now Gabriel. At Oregon, right?
Right, Dylan Gabriel.
So, I'd hate to be the parents of some of these portal quarterbacks. Like, how many different shirts does Grayson McCall's family have to have
right.
to go watch him play? I mean, he's had like 14 different uniforms.
And, what was the other guy we were talking about before? Oh, Gabriel. And his family is from Hawaii. And then he went to Orlando, Norman, and now Eugene. And hey, by the way, the Ducks are loaded this year. They're absolutely loaded. All right, where were we? Okay, so you didn't make a decision on that Oklahoma yet?
Well, I think Oklahoma has got a cakewalk. I'm not saying Tennessee's schedule is super hard going into that game either, but Oklahoma doesn't leave the state. So, Oklahoma will have – they go Temple, Houston, Tulane, all in Norman, and then Tennessee comes calling. That's – man, I know we're picking season win totals, so you've kind of got to try to break it down the best you can going on this, but I really would like to see how those two new quarterbacks play. I would probably lean towards Tennessee here, but – and even more important than just the whole conversation about whether you lean or you called it an L, this is the swing game on a win total of 9.
Yeah.
Because you've got Alabama and Georgia still ahead, and Alabama's not going to be what they were. Man, that Georgia number seems awfully inflated against the Tennessee team, doesn't it? 17?
Does that's a big number, no doubt about it. And what
let's stay in order. I'm gonna give Tennessee this one.
Okay, all right. So then at Arkansas, but they get 2 weeks to prepare after the Oklahoma game, so should be healthy, rested, and ready at Arkansas. I'm gonna give the Vols a W there.
Concur.
Now, I'm going to give them a W at home against Florida, but that'll be a ball game. As usual, Florida smoked them last year, 29-16, and it was a barn burner in Knoxville 2 years ago as the Vols won 38-33. But I'll give the Vols a W. I would be on the Gators +11, though, if that ends up being the number.
I'm with you there. And then – is this the biggest game of the season for Heupel? I know
Bama
they beat
at home.
I know they beat them 2 years ago, but that was such a – like all the cosmic tumblers clicked together. But this is now a chance, and I think a lot of the programs around the league, you don't want to let Kalen DeBoer kind of continue the momentum. He's not going to be Saban. Nobody is. But – this is now a time to say, okay, well, we didn't have a whole lot of success against Saban, but Alabama, if Saban's not there anymore, I mean, we're not afraid of them anymore. We're not, so what? They don't have Saban.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a tough game to call. DraftKings has Alabama as a 2-point road favorite. I'm going to call it a swing game for now.
Okay. Now, you have to like Bama's quarterback better because Jalen Milroe's already gone through the first year of learning how to handle all this. So, I mean, Jalen Milroe's going to be a dude now.
Yeah.
And I know, and it's still hard for me to talk about, Auburn completely wet their pants on 4th and 31. But don't underestimate, that dude threw a dime.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, it was a perfect throw.
Yep. Yeah, it was, no doubt. So, you going to call this one, or are you going to call it a swing game for now?
Tennessee. I think Tennessee's going to be a 10 to 11 win team.
All right. So, right now, do you still have them undefeated right here?
Well, if I'm hedging, if I'm looking at this, I'm saying Alabama-Oklahoma is a split. They win one, they may lose the second one, or vice versa. You see what I'm saying?
Totally.
I mean, and so I'm breaking it down this way. I think they're a 10-win team. I don't know how good Kentucky's going to be, and that's a special. You know, there's a danger there. It's good to always have a bye week after Bama, because they're so physical, and they always have been. But if they win that game, 2 weeks of hearing the rat poison of how great you are, because at that point they're going to be 5-1, 6-1, and really high in the national rankings. And people are now not only talking about New Year's Day, they're talking about playoff.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll both give them wins at home to Kentucky and Mississippi State. And give them I'm going to give them an L at Georgia.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
And then, and then they should win the next two, UTEP at home and at Vandy. So you've got them going 10-2, losing at Georgia, and you just have them splitting out of the two games at Oklahoma and Bama at home. I've got them losing at Georgia. I mean, I kind of agree with your premise. They'll probably go 1-1 in the Alabama-Oklahoma game.
Is that 10-2 right there? Is that playoff worthy? It's got to be, right?
I mean, because it would include either a quality win at Oklahoma or at home to Bama, and those would both be quality losses, and the loss at Georgia. Yeah, I mean, so then you got to look at quality wins. I mean, I think NC State will be a 9-win team. You'll have a win over them. I don't know what Florida's going to be. We're kind of waiting to see with Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky could be good. If Brock Vandergriff is good, I think Kentucky will be good. Vandy, go ahead.
Because here's the other thing, and as we were kind of kicking around doing Tennessee this week, if you get the opportunity to play Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Vandy on an SEC schedule, you've got to make the most of it.
Yes.
Because we already know you're going to get – your non-conference is UTEP, Kent State, and UTC. And so that's 6-0. Boom.
Yep.
I mean, so 4-2 in the rest of your schedule feels doable, and it also is spaced out pretty favorably.
Yeah. You've got a chance to have a big year. Certainly if Nico enjoys a breakout season, which is certainly, what they're expecting, then, it could be a really big season. Little concerned about them defensively. Now, they gave up only 20.3 points per game last year, but only 5 starters back. We mentioned linebacker and secondary, going to be some young, new guys. We'll see how that works out. But I would think the offense will be better after averaging 46.1 and leading the nation 2 years ago. They dropped down to 31.8 last year. But you mentioned the receivers, Squirrel White, Brew McCoy, Dante Thornton. You know, and maybe they have a better year last year if Brew McCoy didn't get hurt. So,
well, and I know for certain that Nico is much more accurate than Joe Milton. Joe Milton could throw it from where I'm sitting in Chattanooga to your friend's house's front yard, and it only needs to bounce once. But a lot of the struggles in terms of scoring, I mean, his completion percentage was not super great. And even more than that, he's one of those guys that threw a ball that was really hard to catch because his arm was so strong.
Yes, yes.
And so I think all of that will click. And there's no controversy. There's no doubt who the dude is, who the QB1 is. I mean, it is Nico's crew, and it's time to ride or die. And I think the schedule works, and I also think a 10-2 run, because we're also high on Ole Miss, we're high on Missouri, we're high on Georgia, and then you look up and not being in the SEC championship game in that regard at 10-2, and you're like number 8 in the country. That's not a bad thing. That gets you to the playoff.
Yeah, yeah. So just looking at Phil Seals' SEC predictions, he's got Georgia 1 and Texas 1, so a tie there. Alabama 3, Ole Miss 4, and then in a fifth place tie, LSU, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. As we pointed out, James Pierce, obviously first team All-American, so he's first team All-SEC. Other Vols on the All-SEC teams in Phil Seals magazine. Third team defensive tackle Omar Norman Lott. And so that's it for the defense. Offensively,
we've got a couple of linemen on that team.
Yeah. Cooper Mays is second team after he struggled with injuries last year. And we've got Squirrel White on the third team at receiver. And we've got offensive guard Javontez Spragans on the fourth team. Oh, and then Dylan Sampson, the running back, is also fourth team SEC, as is the punter, Jackson Ross. All right. So, I think that it's 9-3 or 10-2. So, I mean, 9 gets you a push. So, I'm going to lean to the over. Don't know that I'll be involved with that, though. Just to clarify. But, if I had to pick it, it would be over.
Well, but you can't really – and we love what we do, and we try to do what we love. But part of this is you can't pick Tennessee going over because you don't want to find yourself on a Saturday night having to root for the Vols.
Right. This is true.
Okay.
This is damn sure true. All right, anything else on the Vols before we talk a little NBA Finals and start wrapping this bad boy up?
I think we're good. I think we're on the same page. I think it's a team that's going to be right there in the conversation for the playoff, but I think the SEC is going to be so cutthroat and with so a limited number of these teams playing each other where you may have four.
The two SEC teams that I really worry about if they go 10-2, rather than going 11-1, because they have such easy schedules, and I'm just not sure their quality wins are going to stack up, is the two teams I'm on there over 9.5 on their win total is Missouri and Ole Miss. I think it could get very hairy for them if both of them are 10-2, because they just won't have as many quality wins as if there's other SEC teams at 10-2.
Yeah, and I mean, you're going to look up, and Georgia's got a much more difficult schedule. Tennessee is it? I'm not saying Tennessee's is super hard, but it is more challenging and going to look better in the eye test than what they're doing in Columbia and Oxford. And I agree with you. We're on the same page. I think both the Rebels and the Tigers, the Missouri Tigers, are going to be 10-win teams. But I hate how this is even going to sound, because I hate the idea of expanded playoff fields. I hate it. Because it's going to devalue the regular season. It is. There is just no way it can't. And as they expanded college basketball in the field of 64 and field of 68 and what, and all those through those years, they completely gutted the SEC conference tournament. All you had to do is get to 20 wins if you're a Power Five school. But we're going to look up, and this is the continued expansion, because it's not going to stop at 12. No, and if you think that, please, people. But as it continues to expand, you're going to have games. Michigan, Ohio State would not have meant a damn thing last year because they both would have been in the playoffs at the height of the Iron Bowl with the kick six and all of the things that those games wouldn't have mattered because they were both in the playoff. So, no, this is not good for the sport as a whole. This is a way to pay the bills on the revenue sharing, period. And that's why everybody was lined up for it. But you're now going to have to find teams who are going to schedule a risky. I'll tell you, team, if they can figure it out at quarterback and get some things done, LSU's schedule is hairy enough that they're going to get a mulligan or two. When you're non-conference,
you mean LSU can go 9-3 and have
a hard argument that they're
sure
better than Ole Miss at 10-2.
Yeah, especially if one of their wins is over Ole Miss. Yeah, indeed. All right, so NBA Finals, we got Game 4 tonight. This series has really sucked. So Boston's now won 7 in a row over the Mavs, going 6-0-1 against the spread. The under is 3-0 in the series and on a 9-2-1 run in the last 12 head-to-head meetings between this team. You know, I have no clue on the side tonight. I'm going to go with the under 211.5. The three games, we've had combined scores of 205, 203, and 196. So I'm going with the under tonight. You got to play tonight?
I'm just disheartened. I wanted Luka to make this a series and try to have his moment, but it has not come to fruition. And you got to take a step back here and really kind of – Boston is 16-2 in these playoffs. That is like historically good since like the mid-80s. Only the Golden State Warriors, who went, I think, 16-1, and the Lakers, went 15-1, I think, with one of Kobe's title teams. I mean, wow. They're just smoking folks. Yeah. And what a visor tip this whole thing has got to be for Brad Stevens, who has crafted – I don't know how many people would have said that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were the best 1-2, because that's kind of the modern narrative. If you've got to have a Batman and a Robin, you've got to have Jordan and Scottie. I don't know if how many people would have said that, but damn, the Celtics have gone old school and they got the best 1-5.
Yeah.
If Porzingis is on the floor and Drew Holiday's on the floor and those other two dudes, and you rotate in an Al Horford, you rotate in a Derek White, and you change out these guys to where you get in meaningful postseason games and all of them are playing 35 plus minutes, they are hard to handle.
Do you think we ever get Brad Stevens as a head coach again? I'm looking up his age right now.
Why would you want to do that?
Oh my God, I'm older than him. He's 47.
Hey, but y'all have accomplished about the same amount. And you're probably getting compensated about the same rate.
And I was two rows behind him as he coached Butler to an overtime win over my Gators in the Elite Eight in New Orleans in the 2011 South Region Finals. Oh, that was a tough one to swallow. Elite Eight exits really suck.
Not as bad as the Final Four hose job Auburn got a couple of years ago when the
three free throws. Was it Ty Jerome or was it the other guard?
No, it was the other guy. The guy, well, the big, the not only the three free throws, because, I mean, by technicality, and it's a whole great sports conversation of, do you swallow a whistle late or do you call it the same way? That's not the one that ate at me. The missed backcourt violation.
Yeah, yeah.
When the guy dribbled off his foot.
Yes.
And yes. It turned that's the one that flew all over me.
Yeah, I thought Pearl was gonna run out there and kick the ref's ass when he called that foul. I really thought he
Hey,
was.
Quick story. Golly, it's been forever because Bruce Pearl was coaching at Tennessee at the time. And we had a 6'11", four-star center here in Chattanooga, a kid named Philip Jurek, who ended up going to Tennessee and then also playing at Oklahoma State, was at one of our area schools. Pearl comes down here to scout him, and Jurek gets like three fouls in the first 4 minutes of a high school basketball game.
Oh, man.
And Pearl is livid. He got tossed. He got – the refs tossed Bruce Pearl from a high school game. He got the thumb. He got the heave-ho.
I mean, how far – had he driven from Knoxville? How
yes, far? He had driven to Knoxville to see this guy play, and he got like two over-the-back calls. And this guy's 6'11". He's not going over anybody's back. Right. He's just getting the ball at a higher point. Right. Right. And Pearl was just angry.
How
just
far of a drive? How
sneaky, awful.
How but, far a drive from Knoxville to yeah, –
90 minutes, 2 hours maybe.
That's like 4 hours in the car that were wasted.
Yeah. And you got to see like 6.5 minutes of Eastridge Pioneers basketball.
All right. So before we get out of here, just a little bit of UFC news. So Conor McGregor is out of his fight, injured. And we've got three new fights for UFC 303. So the new main event is Alex Pereira against Jiří Prochazka, and Pereira is a small favorite. And then, Jamahal Hill is out. So the new, co-main event is Brian Ortega, versus Diego Lopez. And, then we got a new fight, with Anthony Smith stepping in on short notice to take on Carlos Olberg. And I've got all the fresh odds for those new fights up on MajorWager.com if you want to go read about those odds. And also, Khamzat Chimaev is out of next weekend's main event against Robert Whittaker, and they do have a new replacement. And if feel free to go to Major Wager and read all about that. I'm on the under tonight. Did you have a pick? I forget, on Dallas tonight, no?
If I play, it will probably be under. And if I play, it will probably be – I think this is going to be a phone-in job. I mean, and it's one of those that you can hedge both ways because it ain't getting past five. And I'm already good because when we started this thing
– You did under 5.5 games.
Yeah, I was under 5.5.
That's right.
At plus 350. So
– Oh, plus 350. Oh, golly, good call. Good call. Not trying to jinx it, though. Tell them about Jay's Plays.
Well, Jay's Plays has been doing great until Brian just jinxed us.
Okay, where are we? Where we got the unit set? Back above 90?
Yeah, we're back above 90. Golly, it's tough, man. It's tough right now. Baseball is so top-heavy, and Vegas is now paying attention with the numbers. Good luck finding the Phillies or the Dodgers or the Yankees at anything under $2 because – timesfreepress.com is where you can find all my stuff. Write the 5 and 10 each weekday morning at 10 a.m. Jay's Plays is our afternoon email. Happy to share. That one's free. So saddle up and ride. Read Brian's. Don't come looking to me for any UFC stuff because he might as well. I mean, he could have been reading off a kebab menu with half those names that I didn't have any idea who they were. I wouldn't know they walked in here and kissed me on the cheek.
All right. So I want to wish everyone a great weekend and appreciate you listening. And come
Happy
listen
Father's
again.
Day, people. Happy Father's
yes.
Day.
Yes. Happy Father's Day. And next week we'll do either Oklahoma or A&M. And me and you will talk about it midweek. We'll figure that out. Happy Father's Day weekend. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Good luck on your bets. And we are over and out.